Tuesday, January 16, 2018, Dakota County Board of Commissioners meeting at 3:02 p.m.
Okay, let's call the county Board of Commissioners to order. We'll stand and say the pledge, please.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, a current copy of the Open Meeting Act is posted on the west wall near the entrance of the county boardroom and is available for review of all citizens in attendance. Will you call roll, please, Joan?
Scott?
Yes.
Tony?
Yes.
Kevin?
Yes.
Marty?
Yes.
Bill is absent.
I make a motion to excuse Bill Rudy from today's meeting.
Okay, we got a motion to excuse Bill.
We need to give a roll call for assistance first.
For what?
Whatever.
I did.
Okay.
I took roll call for
Yeah, you're right. Okay.
So who made the motion?
I did.
Okay, Tony made a motion and then second by Kevin to excuse Bill. Will you call roll, please, on that, Joan?
Tony?
Yes.
Kevin?
Yes.
Marty?
Yep.
Scott?
Yes. Okay, the consent agenda items, we have the approval of the previous minutes of January 2nd of 2018, payroll claims, accounts payable, and the approval of the officials' reports. I went through the works. And everything is in order, so I need a motion on the consent agenda items.
So move to approve the consent agenda items from item A to D.
Okay, I got a motion by Tony.
I'll second it.
And a second by Marty on the consent agenda items. Will you call roll, please, Joan?
Kevin?
He walked out on the phone call. Yes, he just shook his head.
Marty?
Yes.
Scott?
Yes.
Tony?
Yes.
Okay, new business. Pat Wojcik, you are up.
Hey.
We are going to you're going to present and request the board to adopt Siouxland Coalition Against Human Trafficking.
That is correct. Yes. And do you have the proclamation?
Yes, we do.
Signed and ready.
Yeah.
So good, good.
Well, we haven't signed it.
We haven't signed it yet, but
okay,
we're ready.
I go first?
Yep, go ahead.
All right,
yep,
okay.
Yep.
Again, I'm Pat Wojcik, and I'm here representing Siouxland Coalition Against Human Trafficking. SCAHT was formed in August of 2014. Our mission is to work toward abolishing all forms of human trafficking through education, advocacy, and collaboration. Our efforts extend to all three states, Iowa, Nebraska, and South Dakota. Minors are our focus, main focus. However, we have an emphasis on prevention and education and doing presentations. Just a little bit of information. I joined these guys, I didn't realize that this was an issue in this area. However, Nebraska is one state that we're really high because we have, we're 80 going through, so you have your Omaha, Council Bluffs, and so forth, because that's where a lot of your big truck stops are. So here, I'm going to give you a little statistics, and it is kind of alarming. For just Nebraska alone, all right, just Nebraska alone, the first half of 2017, there was 116 cases now of human trafficking. But I want to emphasize that human trafficking is a couple different forms. Like, out of those cases, the number one was sex trafficking. Two is labor trafficking. That's also, you know, human trafficking. And then the combination also is a third way, sex and labor. Areas, the industries that you find it a lot in is, illicit activities, your factories, your restaurant and your food service, health and beauty services, on that. But top venues where you're going to find a lot of the trafficking happening, most of them are, is your hotels and motels. And we, as our organization, has developed a little subcommittee that is going around to all the local hotels and educate the managers and the workers what to look for and how to go about reporting it. Also, escort services, online acts, illicit massage and spa places, and then also to residence-based commercial sex. Human trafficking is a form of modern-day slavery that occurs in every state, and like I said, including Nebraska. We work closely with law enforcement and other professionals in Nebraska to serve victims and survivors of trafficking, responding to human trafficking cases and sharing information and resources. It's quite interesting, so we appreciate you accepting this, and we have now gone out to different communities around Sloan, Salix, so forth, and we've been asked now to put presentations out there for schools, committees, so forth. And our goal is to educate people. We're not necessarily the ones that are going to go and rescue them, you know, but if someone comes up to us and we're giving a presentation, what steps need to be taken to help them out? Because this is a very, very dangerous, very dangerous, very serious for minors and into the adults, too. In fact, there was a case over in, I'm going to provide the details, over on the side of Iowa where it was actually the mom's boyfriend, and she worked weekends, and unfortunately he had set it up for the little 12-year-old girl that he would use her on the weekends to make money. And this is just right here. How sad. We don't realize that. So anyway, thank you so much. And I've got some brochures if anybody wants. So.
Yeah, please. Now, Pat, just a quick question. My wife tells me that Omaha is very bad for trafficking down there.
Correct. For one thing, it's on I-29.
Yep, I-29. I-80 and 29, where it all meets, whatever.
Right.
But anyways, she tells me, and I know there's different forms of trafficking, mm-hmm. and when I think of trafficking, I think of, like, the show Taken, if you've ever seen it.
Yes.
Okay, that's what I think of trafficking, where they get girls, and then they take them, and then they... Do they take them away from their settings of where they live and this and that, and then they mm-hmm. put them to work, or they, you know, if it's a sexual thing, or they sell, I mean, is that...
That is a very common way that they take them away. However, we find the numbers are growing where they're kept right in the community.
Right in the community.
Right in the community. It could be someone they're working for. It could be a relative. It could be a friend.
Honey, give me one.
And they know how to, and they know how to, the predators, they know how to...
manipulate.
Correct. So that by the time this is all said and done, then the minor is scared to say anything.
Yep.
But no, they do not always get shipped away. A lot of times they stay right here, just like I was saying, the boyfriend of the mom.
Taking advantage of the 12-year-old.
That was right here. He had truck stops and hotels and so forth. So anyway,
a homicide there in a situation in my
That's right. That's right. Well, that is
fortunately.
True.
Yeah. How could you not?
Yeah.
You know?
Thank
wow.
Thank you, guys.
Yeah, thank you, Pat, for everything you do.
Thank
That's awful
you.
Nice of you guys.
You're welcome. And
yep.
I appreciate me being here. And also, too, on behalf of Coach Chunk, we want to say thank you again for your contribution to the Flatwater Crossing.
Is it going well?
Yep, I have the lots up for sale. We've got 3 houses going already. This is the 200 acres in South Sioux. So,
great.
So thank you guys on
yep.
that, too.
Yep, thanks, Pat.
Thank
appreciate
you,
Pat. You coming in.
You bet. Here you go. That one's
back. Now
back to work.
Get back to work. Okay. Okay, miscellaneous, we have, oh, excuse me, I'm sorry. So we need to take action on the, hang on a second here, Pat's presentation of the Awareness and the Prevention Month, which we all signed here. So I need a motion to adopt it.
I'd make a motion to adopt the proclamation.
Okay. I got a motion by Marty and a second by...
Second.
And by Kevin and Caldwell, please join on that. Thanks again, Pat.
Thank you.
Yeah, thanks.
You bet.
Marty?
Yep.
Scott?
Yes.
Tony?
Yes.
Kevin?
Yes.
Okay. All right. Now we're going to move to miscellaneous. We got Fred Kellogg, Highway Superintendent, the road report.
December 31st through January 13th, 170 hours of road maintenance. 6 hours salt and sand hauling, and 14 hours of barricades, and signs. Road concerns, grading L Avenue, M Avenue, H Avenue, and 162nd Street. A few washboards still out there. Other than that, been pretty quiet.
All right. Any questions for Fred? Like to see no gravel hauled. And listen, I know on Elgin I called you on that, of the way you en-wrote it, and I understand it now that you explained it to me.
We used to do that quite often. If the loose aggregate, when it snows a lot, I know it hasn't been snowing, that isn't the problem. It's been the dry conditioning and the washboarding. I was just down Elgin the end of last week. As you see, there's still a lot of aggregate out there yet. And when you get that quantity of loose aggregate, you get a lot of washboarding.
Right. And it makes sense to pull it off the side. Mental note, it's there, and then when the time's right to pull it back on there. It makes sense.
The way it looks, we're supposed to get some warm weather by the end of the week, so we'll probably have a little moisture with it. We'll probably try and put it back by the end of the week. See if we can get her to stick a little better. If it dries back out, we'll do it again.
All right, okay. Okay, thank you, Fred. Okay, we got next on the list is Sheriff Kleinberg, Joe Report. I know Sheriff's not here. I think he lost his mother. Our condolences to him and his family. But Mark wanted to know if he wanted to come over and present it. And I said, not necessary. I think we can all look at it among one another, each other here, I should say. And inmates are down, obviously, the county inmates. There's 9 federal. The juveniles, I don't know, the 1.87, I know I just stamped a claim. There was a kid over in Woodbury for 20 days. So total in house is 82, county, federal for the year. I think it's pretty self-explanatory. We've looked at this enough. Looks like December cost per day was $69.06. So
why are the feds not coming up a little bit with the lower inmate? We can't take 20.
They want a guaranteed number of beds that we can provide them at any time. At any time, regardless of what our county population is. Now, that's just when I spoke to them last. They want that guaranteed number that we can provide them. We haven't been able to do that. Our numbers are low now. They were low last month, but the month prior to that, we wouldn't have been able to meet their
requirement. And they want that guarantee for a couple of years, don't they? Or for a year?
A year, isn't it?
Yeah, for the foreseeable future, which means,
So my question is I wonder how we'll ever get the federal inmates back if we can't give them a guarantee. I mean, it sounds like it's almost going to be impossible unless you say, hey, I'm going to guarantee you 15 beds, or 10 or 20. I don't know what they're looking for, but and we know this is a slow time of year, I think, right? In my eyes, there's going to be your situations like you were talking earlier. There was a lot of things happening, havoc in the community, but summertime is usually generally is when, the spooks come out, when the weather's nice, right? I mean, typically, wrong or right?
Yeah, there's more activity.
More activity, right.
Yeah, I don't know how we can address that.
Yeah, we'll have to get with Sheriff once he gets back to work and
see what he says.
Yeah.
Besides showing, good faith and,
I know this and I've heard this many of times and I think I just heard the other day, is it 138 beds that we have over there?
I don't know the exact
number. Yeah, I think it's 138 or 130. It's right at 140, but I don't know. Okay, well, that's to be discussed at another time, I guess. But I'll make a point to ask the sheriff when I see him. Okay, next up is Robert Giese, county treasurer, to present the 1718 fund balance, a six-month accumulated report for July through December 2017, and requests the board's approval. The chair just signed the said report. Bob?
Mr. Chairman, no changes. The one that we always look at, of course, is the inheritance fund, and we still have money, so Not while we don't wish any ill will on anybody, but we're kind of at the mercy of what happens in the community as far as that inheritance fund. So really no other things to bring to the board. So
it's pretty simple, cut and dry. The money's all there, the beginning balance, disbursements, transfers, ending balances. It's pretty
yeah, there's really, we really have no control. Well, I guess we have control over as far as
we do and we don't. Yeah, we had that, our budget committee today that we talked to everybody. Certain things that there's just, you just, you have control over, and there's the bigger things that you have no control over.
Right.
You know, so.
So I have a copy here for you to sign, Scott and Joan.
Okay.
So anyway, just a formality, bringing it to the board.
Yep, okay. Any questions for Bob before he?
No.
Okay. Thank you, Bob.
You bet.
So anyways, we need a motion to approve the 17-18 fund balance for the 6 months and have my have the chair to sign.
So moved.
Got a motion by Tony.
Second.
And a second by Kevin. Will you call roll, please, Joan?
Scott?
Yes.
Tony?
Yes.
Kevin?
Yes.
Marty?
Yep.
Okay. Thank you, Bob.
You bet.
And then Commissioner Committee Reports. I have one that I went to the Dakota County Public Safety Service Agency. We had our meeting at the new fire hall over here. Place is amazing. It's absolutely amazing. It's awesome. Basically, we went over is we talked about some old business with our audit insurance. I know we are insured by NIRMA. I know we had a difficult time at the time and to get insurance, and then we come up with possibly NIRMA having. But I guess the question came up is when, and we got to find out, is when can we, once all the fire stations are built, do we got to keep, you know, paying insurance on this agency, you know? So I don't know if we got to find out if that's a Mike Schmidt, you know, if it's an attorney question, if he can answer that, but. Anyways,
wasn't it created for like 15 years?
It was 15 years, yeah, up to 15 years.
Okay.
So, and then they talked about spending a couple hundred bucks per each fire station to put a plaque of the people that, you know, were on the board, and then more importantly is how the establishment was paid for. Okay, I know that, you know, there's times when you used to see the fire trucks. I don't know if they still do it or not. You know, this was purchased by, you know, pickle tickets, you know. Mm-hmm. So at least 20, 30 years from now, you know, people go in there and they'll just, it ain't going to be nothing fancy on the outside. It's just going to be on the wall, you know, in one of their rooms that just, you know, states the people that were on it and how it was paid for. And I think it was a great idea. I know I kind of came up with that idea. Joan and I kind of talked about it, and I passed it on to them. So,
the plaque thing.
What's that?
The plaque thing.
Yeah, the plaque thing. Yeah.
Half cent sales tax.
Yeah. For that, yeah. And Deanna, she said she's going to want to talk to you maybe for wording. Okay. If you're okay with that.
Yep.
And then I think the only location left, I think Homer said they had a few issues with a few things that they're trying to work out some details, and I think Emerson Hubbard area was going to be done by the end, they thought by the end of February, they were hoping, and I have not been over there to see it, but I think we'll have our next meeting probably in June and we'll probably have it over there, but I have not been by it, but they say it's close to being
yeah,
there.
It's looking good. They've been working
so
quite a bit on it.
So other than that, that's all I have, and then other than Tony and I and Joan met with all the elected officials and department heads today, and we talked about where we stand at with money. You know, we're halfway through already, 6 months of the budget for the year, and so we talked a little bit about with that with everyone, and everybody seems conscientious about their budget, and like we talked, there's a few things that we have no control over, you know. You get some outside attorney expenses. You get some expenses in the jail. You know, there's a lot of there's some variables there what can either be a good thing or a bad thing. So, but other than that, yeah, things are flowing right along. So we still got to, like we stressed, and we still got to watch all of our money, you know. That's all I have is those two issues, I do believe. And I see that Dakota City, the fire department is having an annual soup supper, chicken noodle soup. Is that Saturday, January 27th, from 5 to 8. So they're having a chicken noodle and chili dinner. It's $50 for new sign-up commissioners and $8 for adults and children 5 to 10 for.
Dakota City,
yes. Hope to see you there, Larry. Okay. Anybody else have anything?
I'm not very good at shaking hands and kissing babies.
No, you know what I do? I shake hands and kiss hot wives. That's what I'm doing, pal. I ain't kissing no babies. So anyways, fortunately, I never had to do any of that, which is a good thing. But okay, so next thing is mail emergency business. Is there any? I don't believe so. We have a public comment, number 6. Anyone from the public?
No.
Why wouldn't you? Come on up, Larry.
No, it's simple. The bridge that Dixon is doing right now.
So who's doing?
Dixon. He's done with it, actually. Over there by Hubbard, that bridge. You know the bridge that Dixon built over there?
Yeah, the one right out. Yeah, the Rosie Pritchard Bridge.
Yeah. Did we get people money to help with the construction of that?
Did we join? Fred, can you answer that question? I can't remember. Did we get FEMA money for the Rosie Fruker Bridge?
They gave us $140,000 for repairs on the old bridge, and we're kind of fighting with them right now whether they'll let us use their $140,000 for the repairs on the old bridge or the new bridge. They said at one time they would, and now they're kind of backtracking, which is kind of the way people work.
Yeah. Then there was also discussed at a previous meeting several months ago that there was money available from the state for bridge construction, but no culvert construction. Did that go anywhere? Or?
I'd have to have my memory refreshed. Do you remember any of that? Where
there is money for culverts, like for a culvert to replace the bridge, Larry. It's none of our bridges that qualify in the Nebraska program.
Yeah.
So to remove the bridge, replace it with the culvert, is what?
Yeah, I thought it was the other way around. They wouldn't pay any money for culverts, but they would a bridge. No. I see it up in Dixon County. That's the way it is up there. They won't pay for culverts, but they'll pay for bridge replacement.
Hmm.
The way I read it in the paper, unless they had it piled up in the paper.
And that's possible. To me, I couldn't imagine, and maybe it's possible, but the way, you know, funds are, I couldn't imagine them wanting to take a culvert out and to pay for a bridge.
It wouldn't be that way, I don't believe it.
Right, exactly. That's where...
I could take a bridge out.
And then put a culvert in.
A couple box culverts in.
Yeah.
But the bridges that we have that qualify for the program, probably a box culvert would not work.
It'd have to be pretty big.
Yes.
There's only one bridge that I'm aware of.
The one out on 200 heading...
It's the one that goes north and south on... I don't remember where that was.
Outside of Hubbard.
That's the minor bridge, southwest of Hubbard.
Right.
More west, probably, than south. I just thought maybe it was
Thank you, Larry.
Okay, if that's it, we are going to... we will adjourn, and we will meet up on the 29th of January. At 3:02. Thanks, everyone.
Thank you. I told Scott I won't be here on the 28th.
328.